Bring me back some candy, by the way. Just, y'all know you want some, so. So parents, when your kids are done with the egg hunt, do you take the chocolate and peanut butter out and then leave the rest for them? Yes, see, I do that. Okay, good. I'm not the only one. Well, we are so glad to have you here today. Happy Easter. Pastor Joey wanted me to do this. I forgot to do this in first service, and that would have fired them up. But he is risen.
He is risen.
Y'all, they were delayed. See, I'm with them. They're tired. So anyway, I'm just kidding. But it's going to be a great day. So glad that you're with us for worship. Do y'all have your Bibles? Yes. See, today's answer is just what? Yes. Okay, so you already know what to do. So do you have your Bibles?
Yes.
All right, if you would, let's turn to Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 36. And once you have that, whether you're here or at home, why don't you stand for the reading of God's word? Starting in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village. Now that very day is meaning what? Resurrection day, okay? So stay with me here. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles, don't forget that, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What? Are you all with me here? So if you ever walked along somewhere and somebody comes up, probably somebody you don't want to talk to, they come up and they say, "Hey, what's up, guys?" And you're like, "Oh, there he is again." You know what I mean? You never been there before? Yes. Okay, you know you've been there. You can be honest on Easter Sunday. So they're walking along, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of sneaks up on them, and here's what we get. Now, mind you, this isn't just a walk across the street. This is a, yes, you're with me, 7 mile, let's call it a hike. Let's make it more dramatic. Is that okay? It's Easter. So it's a 7 mile hike because I'm sure they had to go over a rock or something, right? Okay, so Jesus sneaks up and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you were holding with each other about?" And they stood still looking and said, then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, now get this, okay? They're telling Jesus about Jesus. You love when people tell you about you? Isn't that great? You can say no. That's the only time today. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. This is what's true. I don't know why they're walking this way, but they begin to testify about these amazing things. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. Why in the world are they walking the other way? Oh, foolish ones. Jesus had enough. You know, this is mile 6. He said, "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Come on now, church, 7 mile walk. He begins to tell them from Moses on all about himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them when he was at the table with them. I love this. Now remember the last time that he was present with them, he broke what? Bread. If you were here Wednesday, we broke bread. So all of a sudden, guess what begins to happen in the hearts of the minds of these two individuals? He breaks bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Aren't you excited in those moments when your eyes are opened? And they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour, and guess what? they went back to Jerusalem, where it was all happening. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon," and on and on. God, right now, if you would please just come. God, open up our hearts on this very special day. Speak to us in a mighty way, God. Get us to a place where we can see you for real, where our veils and our eyes and the scales can be taken away, and we can see you and hear you and understand you, and then go to be with your current work. We ask right now that you'd keep the enemy from us. We pray for your revelation to be here, for your strength to be here, your power to be here, and we ask that in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, so the Petties are here, and Dave, if you're watching, I have insurance with you, but I had to use a commercial not from you, so I'm just wanting to clear that up. Somebody told me in first service, "What, you leave American Family?" I said, "No, but I have a commercial that I really love, and if they're ready with it, I'd probably mute it online just in case they want to shut us down. But I love this commercial, and I want you to hear or listen to it all the way to the end, okay? So don't check out on me on the end of the commercial, because there's something really funny at the end.
We are here.
For new homeowners, a football game can really bring out the parent in them.
It's smart we parked near the exit.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That way.
Let's put away the parking talk maybe for a minute.
Parking is where the money is, though. You imagine what this place pulls in on parking alone.
All right, no more talking about parking lots.
A lot of these are compact spots.
It's not pretty.
Progressive can't protect you from becoming your parents, but we can protect your home and auto when you bundle with us.
We still planning to head out around the third quarter?
Let's not talk about leaving before we're actually at the game.
Watching this was a great...
I love it. Let's not start talking about leaving before we've even gotten into the game. Now, let's be honest. Many of you have done what? Left a game early, right? You think everything's over, and come to find out, your friend texts you and said, "You shouldn't have left early because everything changed in the last 2 minutes." Here's the thing. Oftentimes, right as it's happening, we step out. We check out. We leave. See, oftentimes, before we get to the other side, we're already checked out. Interestingly enough, and I want you to think about this, oftentimes in our walk with the Lord, we're just about to experience His work, His presence, His move. And what do? We check out. Come on now, let's be real. Many of you, many of us, we've gone a distance with Him. And we get to the end. Things are about to come around, and we're nowhere to be found. And we miss out. I love this, and this is what I want to kind of get over and get you to understand. I love how right away it says to be held. Interestingly enough, when you're held back, has anybody ever been held back from something? Yes, that's okay. Sometimes we have to be held back to be able to do better, right? So Jesus, and I kind of gave you this scenario, they're walking, and He kind of jumps into the conversation. Now, here's what I like about this, because we don't see this, we only see this here. After His resurrection, we see Him come and speak, we see Him come and talk, we see Him come and share food, break bread, do fish, really cool things. This is the only time we see Him journey. Now, mind you, He came for years and journeyed with people, walked with them, shared with them, was with them. In fact, right now, you're on a journey with Him. You may not realize it. That's okay. But you're on a journey. And so here He does what? The guys are walking along. They're leaving where everything's happening. And He comes up and says, "Let me journey with you." And it says to be held, meaning the full revelation of who He was held back, so that He could walk on the journey with them. In fact, it was a 7-mile journey. In the army, that would be considered short, right? For many of us, 7 miles would be considered long. Are you all awake? You walk home today from wherever you live, and I'm pretty sure by the time you get there, okay, you'll consider it what? Long, okay? But let's think about this for a second. I love this because the scripture kind of gives us a beautiful list of all the reasons why they shouldn't be going to Emmaus. So let's talk about Emmaus for a second. That was what for them? It was home. It was comfort. It was good. It was where they were before they got called by Jesus. So Jesus is gone. What do? We go back to what's comfortable. We go back to what's normal. We go back to what we're used to. But here's what's crazy about this, okay? I want you to go with me on this little journey. They're walking along, right? They're all depressed because Jesus is gone, hope is gone, and he comes up to them. And he begins to say these things. And there's three reasons, and I love this because they actually confessed it from their mouth. First of all, prophecy would say that Jesus had to be what? Crucified. So let's do a check, okay? Check number one. Right there we know that had to happen. Prophecy tells us that. Prophecy tells us that Jesus was going to fulfill that sacrificial lamb. So right there, they've got one check mark. Then they go on to say, here's what's crazy, okay? And this is what I don't get about people. It's okay as a pastor for me to say that, right? People will be going along, and the miracle's about to happen, and they step out. I'm like, what happened? Is it me? Is it? Thankfully, I know today that it's not me because they were doing it back then too. So I think it's just a faith thing. You didn't chuckle. Okay. The other thing is they testified to Jesus. They said, didn't know it was Jesus. They said, well, you know, these women, right? They went to the tomb in the morning, and guess what? The stone was rolled away. They weren't there, and an angel came to them. Okay, to me, that would say maybe you should stay put, right? Maybe you should kind of just stick around because something's off kilter, but yet you're headed home before the final 2 minutes is over. Then they go on to do this. So maybe, you know, because sometimes women lie, right? Usually not. I'm the one that, yeah, usually fibs and exaggerates. And I call it exaggeration in my house because she'll say, well, how much did it cost? And I say, well, it costs like 50-something. She's like, so basically $59.99. I'm like, yeah, exactly. Or maybe 68. But anyway, you know, you bought these pants for Easter. How much were they? I'm like, well, you know, 20-something cents if you add on the front. You know what I'm saying? You just have to, like, that's what I do with her. I ask her, she tells me. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I was going to go further, but I'm going to let that go because I want a good Easter, okay? I was thinking about what showed up at the house the other day. I was going to ask her how much that is in front of you all, you know? So anyway, we want to make sure that I'm spending less than her. So here's the thing, right? If the women weren't telling the truth, guess what? The men went and said the women were telling the truth. Go ahead, girls. And you were the first one to get the room. I preached that last Easter, if you remember. Come on now, ladies. You were the first there, the first to be revealed to. That's a beautiful thing. You should be proud. What's crazy, though, is they're not going towards Jesus. They're going away from Jesus, knowing all these facts. Now, I'm a little bit curious, right? So if all these things were unfolding, Jesus wasn't in the tomb. We didn't know where he was. The angel appeared. The other disciples said it's really happening, but I still said I'm going to leave. What? Why? Are you not thinking? Do you get it? There's more? See, church, sometimes we just don't hold on and we don't hold out. Y'all remember Super Bowl 52? Y'all, come on now. Philadelphia Eagles won against Tom Brady. I think they're called the New England Patriots, but I'll say Tom Brady. Because they said at the last 2 minutes that they were going to come around and beat him. Do you remember all that? It was so exciting. The best 2 minutes of my life. It actually was like 5 minutes, but it was the last 2 minutes. It turns into like 20 minutes, but it was incredible. And what I don't like, when I listened back to it this week, I tried to put it on, but NFL said no. And so anyway, I listened to it, and I got all that excitement, those feelings, and I started crying again. I'm sorry, every time I watch the last 2 minutes, I cry because it's like a big moment if you come from Philly, and it's just exciting. And I'll text my aunt and say, do you remember 52? And she's like, yes, it was the greatest moment. I'm like, I know. And because I have an aunt who's obsessed like I am, and so we kind of go back and forth on the Eagles. And what's interesting is that the commentators and everybody saying, it's not going to happen. The Eagles, even though they were ahead, they're going to get beat. Tom Brady, this is his best hour and all this mess. Well, guess what? It wasn't his best hour, and we won. But my goodness, if you didn't watch to the end, which a good percent of the viewership, when you check the ratings at the last 4 minutes, they what? They checked out. It dropped. See, I believe it's the same in our faith. We get so close. We almost get to the, and we just say, eh, I think I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back to my Emmaus. I love this. Jesus just uses common language. He catches up to them, kind of sneaks up the way the scriptures translate. He kind of like creeped a little bit and then moved in on them and said, hey, what you talking about? Let me know. And then he begins in common conversation to speak, to talk, to share. They were headed home. And what's interesting is they were headed home, and if you listen to the way they're talking, their hope was gone. You ever feel like in life your hope is gone? You're in a situation and you're in the midst of it right now, and you feel like there's no way that it'll ever turn around. That's them. They were walking. There's no way this is ever going to turn around. It's over. I mean, yeah, these miracles are still happening, and we're walking away while they're happening, but I mean, it's not going to turn around. Church, hear this. Oftentimes, when we think hope is all gone, hope is standing right next to us. See, what's interesting is they were talking to hope. They were talking to salvation. They were talking to eternal life. They were talking to the beginning. They were talking to the I am. Like literally right there, and they didn't get it. They were giving up. You know what's so great about Jesus? He walked with them for many, many years. He loved them. And you know what he saw? He saw the rest of them drawing into what was happening, and he saw them go. And you know what he did? He went after them. Aren't you glad that even after the resurrection, he saw the group getting it, but he saw the two that didn't, and you know where he went for 7 miles? With them. Come on now. You know where he wants to go? With you. You know where he most likely is? Walking with you, but you don't even realize it. You know, I believe that he's actually with you, just waiting to just take the scales and just... See, many of us, we go pout. It didn't happen the way I thought it should. I'm out of here. I think guys do good at pouting. Do you think, honey? Yeah, I pout a lot. And so, you know, if I don't get my way. So here's something, a most recent pouting experience. I didn't want to go to Tractor Supply to get the chicks for a buck because in my mind, okay, I just thought if you bought a chick for a buck, it's not going to last. You know what I'm saying? And so I investigated and researched hatcheries and said, well, let's pay $5 instead of $1. And she said no, and I said yes. And I said, they're getting vaccinated and everything. It's perfect. You know, they don't vaccinate them at Tractor Supply. And I wasn't thinking that, like, they're coming from Idaho and they'd be in a little box with no food or water. And so 5 days later when I got my shipping notification and poor Pendleton called us and said, we know you moved, but, like, I think you probably should come to Pendleton and pick this up because it's supposed to go to Markleville. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, looking in there, a good portion of your chicks are no longer with us. And I popped up and said, I'm headed your way. Thankfully, they knew us because we sell clothes and go in there and spend an hour selling all our kids' clothes. So they knew us and called us from the back office. Wasn't that nice of them? That is so sweet to save our little chickens that were left. Anyway, got them home. 5 were dead out of 16. Supposed to give Pastor Courtney some, and that just kept dwindling. The next 2 days, we lost 3 more. Oh, it was heartbreaking. It still is heartbreaking. And so anyway, she's bawling. Everybody's bawling. I'm trying not to bawl to be the strong person, you know, as these tiny little beautiful little great chicks pass away. Anyway, she said not to do it, and guess what? I did it anyway. I said, they've got to have a way to get them. You know what they put them in? A cardboard box with styrofoam. I opened that thing up. The one was pecking the heck out of the dead ones. I mean, it was a scene. I thought, what in the world? I shut it back. I said, now I got to deal with this. You know why we ended up in that spot? Because I pouted. I said, I don't want to go to Tractor Supply. I want to get them from a hatchery, and I want to get them from the right place. And she said, fine, do it. I said, all right. And I ordered it, and 8 chickens later, and we got 8 left. And so I'm going to listen. You know what I'm saying? But we pout. We do. They were going back to pout. You know what the rest of them weren't doing? They were sticking around. They were waiting. They were getting ready. See, sometimes life gets too hard, and we say, well, I'm out. But see, what's funny is we still expect God in the depth of our heart. We check out on him, but we don't want him to check out on us. How many of you are at Emmaus for good? It's okay to be honest. We're in church. Think in your heart. Are you at Emmaus? Are you headed back to Emmaus? Maybe you're heading from Emmaus to somewhere else. Let's talk about that, the big reveal. So, interestingly enough, Jesus has a way of speaking to us without even speaking to us. Here's what's crazy. If you remember, kind of the last thing he did with his disciples, because they all kind of abandoned him, was he did what? He broke bread, and he shared in the cup. And then he went to the garden, and they fell asleep while he prayed, and then they took him away. So really the last like meaningful experience they had was breaking bread. Oftentimes, many of the most meaningful times that we have together are around the table. And so what does Jesus do? He takes what new would speak into their heart, and he breaks the bread. Their eyes are, and they see. That's like the big reveal. That's like the big moment. I was saying in first service, I'll say it again because it's a good one, but we watch a lot of house shows and stuff, and like they love to commercial it to death the further along you get to the reveal, right? And so in the beginning, they loop you in with longer spans for the commercials, and then it gets more and more because you're more looped in and you want to see the transformation. So then, right as they're about to reveal it, Joanna gets ready to pull that big thing away. What do? They cut to commercial. And then you sit there and you watch all the ads like that, and you say, well, maybe I should check my insurance. And then you're back to the reveal, okay? And then all of a sudden, you go back and you get a couple of clips and the reveal comes. Read up on that. I did one time. In fact, her mom and I, we were investigating. Do you know that after that big reveal, they're not just sitting at the comfy couch and they just move in? Did you know it's like weeks before they move in? You know why? Because none of that stuff on the walls or in the couch is actually theirs. It cost about $25,000 for all the decorations. So you know what they got to do? They got to call Joanna's people because she's just there for the reveal. And she leaves. They come in and say, okay, you want it or not? Then you got to decide whether you want it or not. They take it. What do? They take it out. And then eventually you get the clear to move into your house with nothing in there. Okay, does that sound good? Except the one piece they redid that came from your old house. You remember they do that to loop you in again to show you how they took that old chair and made it a new chair. And it sits in the middle. Well, guess what? That's the only chair left. Okay. So you don't just move in. You know who else does that well? Shoot. Apple, Nike. Come on now. I don't buy shoes anymore, but when I did, you know what they did? They let you know about the new shoe coming out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They do the reveal online. You can watch it. It's beautiful. You think you need it. You really don't because you got a pair and it's fine. And so, but then what do? You start waiting because they let you know before they let you buy. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Here's what I want you to think about. Jesus revealed himself. That was the great reveal, but it was just the beginning. You know what they did after that? Jesus disappeared. You know what they should have done? They should have pouted, Jesus, where are you? What, now you're leaving us again? What, no. They got it. You know what they got? They got the fact that they needed to head back 7 miles to where it was all happening to get ready for when they could really experience the reveal. Well, what do you mean? I got the slides ahead of me. What do you mean? Well, here's the interesting thing. As they were going back, they were walking in truth. They were walking in revelation. They were walking in grace, mercy. They understood Jesus. They understood the big picture. They didn't complain. Jesus left. And you know what they said? In that hour, it didn't say tomorrow, the next day, in the evening, in that hour, they rose. Meaning Jesus revealed himself. They didn't stop. They didn't do anything. They got up and they went back. Wait a minute, 7 more miles. Yes, in the same day, they walked 14 miles. All because they were going back to the promise. Because, see, they were going from the promise back to the promise. They didn't complain. They didn't pout. They didn't. Because they knew what was to come. Well, what do you mean? Well, think about this. It says that Jesus, on that 7-mile trek, went from Moses to him. Come on now. Imagine Jesus reciting the Old Testament to you. Imagine what you would realize. You know what you would realize? Guess what's coming? The Holy Spirit. Guess when the big reveal is coming? The Holy Spirit. So you know what they had to do? They had to get up. They didn't even question that Jesus left. They got up and got back to where it was happening. Come on now, they left their Emmaus, and God is calling you to leave your Emmaus. God is calling you, if you're on your way to Emmaus, to turn around and get back, or you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. They knew they were going to miss it. I'm thinking, is it okay to assume? Now, my grandmother would say no, but anyway, I'm going to assume that the kind of fervor in them going from Emmaus as it was to Emmaus was a little different. I mean, they just realized they walked the whole way with Jesus. He revealed everything. And I believe they got up hastily and they were like, oh, what if it happens while we're gone? We better get back there. The Holy Spirit's coming. The unleashing of all that we've waited for is coming. The second 7-mile trek is walked in realization, truth, and light of the resurrected Jesus. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions today. And it's Easter, y'all. If there's any day to respond, today's the day. Which trek are you on? Are you headed back to your Emmaus? What's your Emmaus? Your comfort zone, your vice, your sin, your disconnection, your contentment with not experiencing the full work of Jesus Christ. What is it? All of our Emmauses are different. Maybe some are similar. But see, some of you are on the trek back to Emmaus where he's not working currently. Some of you are headed back. I get it. Some of you are walking and not realizing the hope's right next to you. Some of you are walking realizing that Jesus is just waiting to say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm present. No matter what you believe, he is with you. John tells us that everything we find in the Gospels is enough. I kind of shared that last week. Here's what's crazy. Jesus was willing. This goes right along with his parables, right? He was willing to leave those that got it to go get those that didn't. But when those that didn't got it, guess where they went? Back to it. So if you get it, it's time to go back to it. Jesus wants us to get to the release, but many of us aren't on the right track. Because see, when the release happens, because I love Apple, they're going to tell us probably in a couple weeks here about the new phones that are going to come out in September. You know that, right? The Apple phones. If you have an Android, like, how do y'all work that thing? I don't even know. People give it to me. Hey, download the app. I'm like, this looks like Greek, but I'll try. So anyway, I'll just talk Apple for now. Android, I feel like they're the smarter people. You know what I mean? Like, they understand technology. I just need, like, little things that look good and I can just push. But they're going to tell us about the phone, and guess what? We're going to have to wait till September to get it. Some of you buying that $5 thing a month so that you can get the next upgrade. I mean, I don't understand it. It's not much different. But here's the thing. When the release comes, you get to have it. And there was a cost for this release. Tremendous cost. Thankfully, it's one you don't have to bear. So why? Why miss out? Why miss out on something that you don't even have to bear the price for? And why let others, right, see it and you don't? I'm going to ask Abby and Mary if you would come forward and just. I love how they said something really interesting. When you look at what they were talking about, they say was alive. When you translate it, there was something in their hearts that was conflicting because it translates as Jesus was still alive. Now, hereafter, forever. So it was like their spirit was not, they couldn't see it. And there was some kind of conflict going on. And then when Jesus left, they looked at each other and they said, was your heart burning? And yeah, our hearts were burning. That's because Jesus has a tremendous desire for us to get it. For us to see him. For us to walk with him. For us to hold on to him. And so they went back to wait for the helpmate. Then they were really going to get started. So where are you today? Where are you today? Are you ready for the release of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you headed back to the things that are comfortable because you don't feel like hope is next to you? I feel like today is better than any day to recognize that hope is with you. And hope is defined only by Jesus. And so why not take today to return to hope? No matter where you are on the journey, come back. He wants you back. And so I'm going to encourage you, the altars are open. Who cares about your neighbor? This is your journey. And Jesus is standing there saying, it's time for you to, and it's time for me to show you. You know what's crazy? They had to go back the 7 miles to get back. And oftentimes our journeys are like that. We go so far from him. And then when we realize that he's right there and he reveals to us, we have so far to go back. And so sometimes in that going back, we give up. It's just too hard to correct all the, it's too hard to ask for forgiveness. It's too hard to, let me just go back and just say, forget it. Then you miss the release of the Holy Spirit in your life in a tremendous way. 14 miles in one day is a pretty good feat, right? They were willing to do it because they got it. And so the question is today, are you willing to do it? Do you really get it? Are you ready? So I'd encourage you today to respond. Let his journey and your journey join together in full revelation.
I was a wretch, I remember who I was. I was lost, I was blind, and I was running out of time. But sin separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of place. You laid inside this tomb of sin, and you were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood. Thank you.
I know the commercial is a goofy little example. But there's two things I just want to close with today on Easter. One, it's interesting in our faith journey, oftentimes we're talking about how to get out of it before we even get into it. Because for some reason we have this concept that maybe what's out in the world or what's separate from Christ is better, and it's just not. The beauty and the peace and the mercy and the grace that comes from journeying with Jesus, it's like none other. And some of us are ready to get out of there before the game is over. Why? The game ending reveals the winner. And you know what? When we stand with Christ, we are all winners. We're all on the winning side. So don't give up your victory for something else. Go with the power of the resurrection. God, today, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you today that we can live in revelation. We can live in the light. We can live in truth. We don't have to walk in darkness and wait for you to reveal yourself to us. You have revealed yourself to us through your resurrection. And so today we thank you for that. Today we honor you for that. God, today we give this time, our hearts, our lives to you. We love you. We praise you. God, be with those today that are present here and online. Encourage them, strengthen them. And we just pray that you would do a mighty work in each person's life that's present here today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a tremendous Easter. Thank you so much for joining us today.